Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 301, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord my God, for thy name's sake, in mercy deal with me, because thy kindness is so great, from trouble set me free. And what follows, Psalter 301, the first three stanzas. Portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Zechariah 1, the verses 1 through 11, and afterwards from the Confession of Faith, Article 22. Zechariah 1, the first 11 verses. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo the prophet, saying, The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, Like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sebat, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom. And behind him were their red horses, speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, These are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And the answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Thus far the scripture reading. The Confession of Faith, Article 22, Our Justification Through Faith in Jesus Christ. We believe that to attain the true knowledge of this great mystery, the Holy Ghost kindleth in our hearts an upright faith, which embraces Jesus Christ with all his merits, appropriates him, and seeks nothing more besides him. For it must needs follow either that all things which are requisite to our salvation are not in Jesus Christ, or if all things are in him, that then those who possess Jesus Christ through faith have complete salvation in him. Therefore, for any to assert that Christ is not sufficient, but that something more is required besides him, would be too gross a blasphemy. For hence it would follow that Christ was but half a Savior. Therefore we justly say with Paul that we are justified by faith alone, or by faith without works. However, to speak more clearly, we do not mean that faith itself justifies us, for it is only an instrument with which we embrace Christ, our righteousness, but Jesus Christ imputing to us all his merits and so many holy works which he had done for us, and in our stead is our righteousness. And faith is an instrument that keeps us in communion with him and all his benefits, which, when they become ours, are more than sufficient to acquit us of our sins. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when once more on this Sabbath day thou wast brought us under the means of grace, wilt thou impress upon all our hearts, upon the hearts of young and old, that one thing needful, that we need to be born again, that we need to become what we are, and that is a poor, a lost, an undone sinner, and that we need to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Ah, Lord, may there be such amongst us that in this afternoon, with a sigh and a cry unto thee, the living God, that have begged thee, even for a small token of thy favor, that thou knowest of them, that have begged of thee for a humble and a broken heart to become small, with that vehement desire that thy great and worthy name may be honored and glorified, but also those lively desires. May there be souls that feel the burden of sin upon their back, and where sin has become worse than death, because this sin causes that separation. And, Lord, thou yet hast a remnant that may say with the Peter of old, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. When there is a discouraged, uncomforted people amongst us, wilt thou grant a little instruction? May they hear thy voice and feel thy embrace. Wilt thou grant a little rejoicing and a little further leading? Lord, thou knowest what thy children stand in need. If it can become so quiet, and it becomes so still a confession, a contemplation of the truth, but those lively desires, they are so missing, and they have to confess that the inner chamber is so often empty. Lord, wilt thou grant a revival amongst us and our children? May we become the guilty one, with a confession of our sins, but with an eye upon thee and the need of what we have heard out of the writings of our forefathers. That cleansing in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that is what we need. With less we cannot do. Wilt thou then bind the seriousness, the reality, and the shortness of life, the certainty of death, of judgment and eternity upon all our hearts. Lord, Do remember the unconverted. May it please thee in this hour to show how unconverted, how lost they are, their dangers, their desperate condition, only one step between them and death, and that they may learn to cry mightily after thee, Ach, Lord. It is written in thy word that by the foolishness of preaching that thou shalt save some. Wilt thou do it in this afternoon? Wilt thou grant those special tokens to us as a people? And what greater token could thou give when it would be heard that there would be boys and girls, young people, middle-aged and elderly ones, that they could not continue as formerly, but that they were wrought upon. And it is written in thy holy word, by their fruits thou shalt know them. Thou wast promised in thy word that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. May the exercises be increased to that end for the coming of thy kingdom and the honor of thy name. Lord, wilt thou grant the candlestick that is amongst us, that it may not become dimmer and dimmer, but wilt thou grant by the work of thy Holy Spirit that it may be given to burn brighter and brighter. Wilt thou remember thy church all over the earth, and thou shalt remember thy true church, but thou knowest the many difficulties, thou knowest the persecution, as Satan has but a short time. To that end, wilt thou remember and uphold the persecuted church, those that are in prison, tortured for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with their dear ones who perhaps do not even know where they are. Wilt thou uphold them for body and for mind? Wilt thou remember the Jewish people, that that veil may be taken away? Wilt thou remember all mission work, also our mission field? Wilt thou remember thy servants and the team? And may thy word be blessed. Remember those that bring thy holy word to the far corners of the earth, many times with difficulties and impossibilities. Lord, remember the many needs amongst us, and by renewal, then we commend unto thee the son that underwent surgery. Wilt thou grant healing and strengthening, then thou wert speaking to him in his young life. Ah, may it be used for the saving of a soul. Wilt thou remember and uphold all those that are near and dear unto him. And ah, Lord, remember that young mother with her husband, with her disappointments, with that postponement. May they be given to mightily cry unto thee, and that these deep and trying ways, that they may be used for the saving of their souls. Wilt thou remember all the distressed, all the discouraged, all those that have difficulties, can be in so many ways. May we be given to pray for one another. And all, Lord, when there are not so many afflictions and difficulties, may we be given to pause and consider all thy goodness, and that it may be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth us and our children to repentance. Wilt thou remember all the sick where the virus continues to go round about the earth? Remember all in hospitals, all those that work in the medical field and in the emergency departments, wilt thou remember all the mourning ones in the midst of us. And now, Lord, in this afternoon wilt thou be a surprising God. Wilt thou look down upon us poor sinners from thy dwelling place. And wilt thou show mercy unto poor sinners. And may it please thee to open thy precious word, open our mouth, but also open our hearts to receive thy word, and that it may fall on well-prepared earth. Oh, may it be for the encouragement and for the comfort of thy Zion here below. And so, Lord, we have to confess that we have absolutely nothing to plead upon. Our sins are great and manifold, and we are such unthankful creatures. Then it is so necessary that we are given to consider thy blessings, to receive a broken and a humble heart, with the realization that every good gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of a turning. Lord, if thou would deal as we deserve, thou would have to pass us by. But may we be given to plead upon thy mercy. A word is written in thy word, that thou delighteth in mercy. Wilt thou convert us and our children as thou hast converted all thy people, we ask it in the forgiveness of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 2, the 5 stanzas. Blessed is he who loves God's precepts, who from sin restrains his feet. He who will not stand with sinners, he who shuns the scorner's seat. And what follows, Psalter 2, the 5 stanzas.
Thank you.
this afternoon hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words as Zechariah 1, the verses 7 through 11. We shall read the verses 8 through 11. I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom. And behind him were their red horses, speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Our text words speak of Zechariah's first night vision, the man standing among the myrtle trees. Three thoughts. First, a surprising revelation. Secondly, a diligent search. And thirdly, a profound report. Zechariah's first night vision, the man standing among the myrtle trees. A surprising revelation, as we find it in the verses 8 and 9. A diligent search in verse 10, and a profound report in verse 11. Thus first, a surprising revelation. Beloved congregation, we read in verse 7, upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which in the second year of Darius came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah. That was a time that the prophet has never forgotten. Have there also been those times in your life, congregation? Of course, then there are times, could mention many special times, marriage, birth of a child, times in the hospital, a death in the family. Those are times and dates that we shall never forget. But may now also ask you, are there other times concerning the things of the Lord that we shall never forget? That day, that night, that place, that sermon, where I may believe that the Lord has spoken unto me. When we read in our text, the 11th month, that is our February, the prophet Haggai, we have heard it, he has begun to prophesy in the 6th month. 24 days later, they have begun the rebuilding of the temple. We have heard it at the beginning of this prophecy that the first time was the 8th month. Thus now we are 3 months later. Ah, what a blessing in the life of the church when there are not such long times that the Lord instructs and speaks in a special way. For the child of God can become so still, and we're also everything lies so still. But for the prophet Zechariah, then by renewal, a special word for the children of Judah. They were rebuilding the temple. They were distressed, many fears, because the letter was not rescinded when they were forbidden to continue with the temple. Nevertheless, upon the commandment of the Lord, they have commenced. Thus there were many fears. And now concerning the circumstances, then it seems to be implied. We have heard from the first six verses the introduction, and that the prophet Zechariah, that he has called that people to consider their ways, to repent. It seems that that people have taken it to heart. What a blessing, and what a comfort, and what a joy for those who were called to labor in the Lord's vineyard, when there may be a hearkening to the word of God, that it is not all a plowing upon the rocks. It seems that those builders, with their many fears, with their much distress, that they have regarded the message of the Lord, that they have come into their guilt, but they still had many questions and many fears. And now for that people, the Lord has given these eight night visions to the prophet Zechariah, that they may be instructed, that they may be comforted. Oh, are there also comfortless souls in my midst that are so busy with the building of that temple, that spiritual temple, where they may believe that the Lord has begun that good work? And then we have heard there can be those times that it seems to be so still, but in our text words, then the people have become busy, and with all their questions, with all their fears, and then it displeased the Lord to use the prophet, also the prophet Haggai, but further the prophet Zechariah, to encourage that discouraged people, that they may be given to look upon the Lord. And when we read of the prophecies that the prophets were given to give unto the people, then that prophet was also part of that people. When we think of the prophet Ezekiel by the river Kibar in Ezekiel 3 verse 15, then it is written that the prophet sat where the people sat. Thus also the prophet Zechariah, we must not think it so, boys and girls, that the prophet was only a postman to bring a letter to a people that he did not fully understand the meaning. Of course, we hope to hear that for the prophet there was also much that was so hidden for him. To that end, he was given to ask instruction. But what I mean, that the prophet Zechariah was part of that people, also filled with fears, a man of flesh and blood, and that the prophecies were not only for that people, but that they were also for the prophet. And now we read, I saw by night. It was literally night, but how often that the Lord, even literally in the night, comes over for his people, that he gives instruction A daddy grants a promise many times. There was a Mesiris, an eld, a God-fearing child of God. The thought is that he was elder cannot be proven. He has written a book concerning the experience of God's people because he was given to meet many of God's people. And then he has written in his book that it is the experience of many a child of God that many a times early in the morning that the Lord awakes them and that he instructs them, that he speaks to them, and that he comforts them, thus in the night, and figuratively in the scripture, then a night that declares many things. Oh, a night of unbelief, the nights of impossibility, the nights when the boar comes out of the woods, ah, the devil. He does not need any sleep. And how he can attack that people also in the night watches, thus in the nights of impossibilities when they are so uncomforted, in the nights when they are nigh to despair. Ah, for those builders, boys and girls, you can picture it, how often they must have looked in the distance, whether the enemy soldiers were not approaching, that they would be forced to stop the rebuilding of the temple. And now it has pleased the Lord in the night for the prophet that the Lord was given to instruct. And then we read, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. Then who was now that man? Then we may believe it is true also in these visions. There are many things that are written that seem to be mysterious. But when we compare scripture with scripture, then it is signified that this man on the red horse, that it was a type that he was the Lord Jesus Christ who has appeared in the Old Testament, in the form of a man. We read there of different times in the scripture, Joshua 5 verse 15, as the captain of the host of the Lord. In Exodus 15 verse 3, there it is written, the Lord is a man of war. Also in the visions, which we read in Ezekiel 1 verse 26 and in Daniel 7 verse 13, there the Lord Jesus Christ has also taken upon him the form of a man. No, in the Old Testament, it was not the assuming of the human nature, but he has taken upon him the form of a man. And so he has appeared unto the church. Then the Lord has appeared unto Zechariah in the way of a vision. That is different than in a dream, because children, we dream when we are asleep. But in a vision, then the prophet was still awake. But then in the way of ecstasy, then he was given to behold wonderful things. The same as we read of John on the island of Patmos, we read the same in Ezekiel 8, that the prophet Ezekiel, that he has sat before the elders, and then it was, as it were, that the Lord has picked up the prophet concerning his intellect, and that he was brought to Jerusalem to behold wonderful things. Thus the night visions of Zacharias, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. The horse in the Bible that had a special purpose. In Bible times, then the horse was not used to pull the plow. That was the oxen. and the horse was not used for transportation. That was a donkey or a mule. But a horse was used for warfare. And to that end, the Lord has even given a command to the Jewish people not to have horses and chariots, that they would not put their trust thereon. The psalmist has declared in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. Thus, in our vision, when the prophet was given to see, behold, a man riding upon a red horse, that speaks of warfare. But now we do not only read of a horse, but we read of a red horse. When we compare scripture to scripture, then John on the island Patmos in Revelation 6 has also seen a vision of horses, and then he was first given to see a white horse, and he that sat thereon went forth going to conquer, and that a crown was given unto him. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. But in our chapter, then it is not a white horse, but then it is a red horse. And when we read of that red horse, then that word red, the same original word that is used in the Song of Solomon 5 verse 10, that he is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000s. And in Isaiah 63, there we read, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thy apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat? And then in verse 6, and I will tread down the people in my anger, and make them drunk by my fury, and will bring down their strength to the earth. Thus, when we read of this man upon this red horse, then we may speak of his meritorial work, what he has done to save his people, that he was given to shed his blood. But that word red, that red horse, that speaks of a man of war, that speaks of the King of the Church, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. John in Revelations 9:19, verse 16, then he was given to see him girded, and that he was also red in his apparel. Thus then in our text, then the prophet Zechariah, those builders with many fears, uncomforted, many times discouraged, maybe sometime ready to give up. Is there a soul that understands it? That the devil says it has never been anything, and it is nothing, and it shall be nothing. You are not a chosen one. Does give it up. Try to find it in the world. Then at least maybe you can still have a little happiness. A life so bowed down, building, and with so many fears, that is no life. And it can come so far that people are ready to give up. And yet by renewal, then you see those souls, that they are given to bow their knees, and that they are given to tell the Lord all. How impossible it is, but yet a soul that cannot miss the Lord. Then they may tell the Lord, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. I need to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. A red man, the man upon that red horse, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a man of war, What a comforting revelation to the prophet Zechariah. Oh, I think that already when he has seen that man upon that red horse, that he had a desire to go to those builders and tell that people what he has seen, and that he said, oh, be not too discouraged, because the Lord has shown me that man upon that red horse. Oh, that is that victorious king. And then we read that that man riding, the status also instruction, riding, active, for the welfare of those troubled Zionites. And then where did the prophet see that man riding upon a red horse? And he stood among the myrtle trees. Myrtle tree was not such a big tree. Sometime it looked more like a shrub, but they tell us was a beautiful shrub. Glossy green leaves, white flowers bordered with purple, and it gave a beautiful scent. Oh, maybe then I hear souls say, when the Lord works, we have heard it this morning, then we have a desire, we become so jealous of that people. But the Lord shows them what sinners they are. Nevertheless, when the Lord works, by their fruits ye shall know them. We have sung out of Psalter 2. That is Psalm 1 that speaks of that tree that is planted by the rivers of waters, and they shall bring forth their fruit in their seasons. It is true, can be in the life of a child of God in the beginning with a lantern upon their back, more visible, that the family and neighbors may see. That is a soul that has respect for God's word, that has a love for the Lord, that is given to walk according to that word. Although many times you see him shedding, that they are given to weep with an impression what sinners they are. But now those myrtle trees, then we read something more about those trees that were in the bottom. It speaks of a low place, a valley, by the rivers of water. It is true. In Nehemiah 8 verse 15, concerning the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, and when they have kept the Feast of Tabernacles, and then they needed booths to dwell in, it was a feast of rejoicing, because the church is given to also rejoice many times. And let me tell you, congregation, even in that weeping, then there is more sweetness than all the joy of the world. But then we read that by Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, that they also found those myrtle trees to make their booths. But it is very evident, we can understand, that those myrtle trees, that they prospered more and better in the valleys by the rivers of waters than about upon the hill. Then surely, then upon the hills, they were not so green and they were not so beautiful. Myrtle trees in the bottom and the valley. Thus that speaks of a low place, a place of humility, and yet planted by the rivers of waters. Those rivers of waters in the Bible, they point to the means of grace by the work of the Holy Spirit. Thus, the red man, the man upon the red horse, riding among the myrtle trees in the bottom. What a comfort for those despised Zionites. with so many fears, with so many questions. Maybe some of them have said what we have heard some weeks ago out of Isaiah 49, verse 14. The Lord has forsaken and the Lord has forgotten me. Ah, it can be. And the life of those myrtle trees, that there are times that they are so afraid, that they are not a living myrtle tree, to say it simply, not a true child of God, because congregation, that true people of God, they are given to examine the scriptures, and they have much trouble with that people where it comes so close. Even people where they seem to excel. Think of Saul, the king. Such a good start. Experienced so much in the way of the Lord's providence. And in 1 Samuel 19, when he was persecuting David, Naioth in Ramoth, then he has sent his servants to capture David. They have begun to prophesy. They did not return, and then Saul went himself. And he also started to prophesy. It was said, is Saul also among the prophets? But now in our text, we have a special mark of those myrtle trees. Does not mean congregation. Oh, those myrtle trees, they have so much trouble with that pride. And they like to come to be planted upon a mountain. But the Lord says, no, my child, you must remain in the depth by those rivers of waters. There you shall prosper the most. And there I shall bless you. And there I shall instruct you. Thus, what an encouragement for those builders, but also what an encouragement for the true child of God. Oh, even those little, those lowly myrtle trees in the depths, with all their fears and with all their questions, with their all impossibilities. Then the Lord says, the man upon the red horse, he is riding amongst them. Thus woe unto the enemies, because the man, he is almighty. Power in heaven and upon earth, it was true, and the Old Testament still more veiled. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come in the fullness of time, what precious things are already written of him in the Old Testament. Thus the Lord is saying, prophet, now go to the builders. Oh, maybe there are some that are so bowed down and are afraid that it shall all come to an end, that it shall never be finished. Oh, I hope that there are still those exercises amongst us and our children that are busy with the most important, because congregation, we need to be converted and we need to be saved. We need to become a living myrtle tree in the depths. We have to be humbled, abased to the lowest, but now necessary that we come to a knowledge of that man upon the red horse who can save to the uttermost. It is true, what a privilege, what a blessing when the Lord works and we may be given to experience the special providence of the Lord, that he knows of us, that he grants special tokens of his favor, but that temple needs to be built. We need to be delivered. We need to be saved from our sins. We need to come to a saving knowledge of the Son of God. And now further, and behind him were there red horses, speckled and white. And then it is clear from the 10th verse that there were riders upon these horses. Thus much similarity to the vision that John has seen in Revelation 6. Then he saw that white horse, one that sat on that horse going forth to conquer. And behind him, there was the red horse of war, the black horse of famine, and the pale horse of death. And then also in Revelation 6, then it was clearly shown to John that those last three horses, they have come behind the white horse. Thus, those three horses, they were under the direction of him that sat on the white horse that went forth to conquer. And so we also read in our vision, clearly implied, because we read, and behind him. And now those horses in our vision, they concern the execution of God's decree in his providence upon this earth. Thus, those three horses, they were under the command of the man upon the red horse. Oh, what an instruction for those builders that everything that takes place upon the earth, the psalmist has declared in Psalm 99, the Lord reigneth. That is the meaning of this vision. And then when we read of those different colors, then we read of a red horses. Red is also the color of war. All the wars upon this earth, they are directed by the Lord. The enemy cannot shoot one more arrow or a bullet, whatever it may be, than what the Lord permits. Oh, in this vision, may you become a little jealous of those myrtle trees. My unconverted fellow travelers, to that never-ending eternity, we need this written in the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 55, verse 13. Instead of the thorn shall come up a fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up a myrtle tree, and it shall be the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that may not be cut off. Oh, may we be given to beg the Lord fervently, that many thorns and many briars, have you learned at congregation, that we are not a myrtle tree, a beautiful little myrtle tree in the depths, but through our deep fall, that we have become a thorn and a briar with those pricks, not exercised with God's glory, but more concerned about our glory and our kingdom. But now that promise, that instead of the briar shall come up a myrtle tree, that is the wonderful works of the Lord. Think of Saul. Oh, what a thorn he was in the midst of the church. But on the way to Damascus, then he has become a myrtle tree. Oh, that is the blessed work of the Lord. And those myrtle trees in beginning, a little beginning that they may glorify the Lord, that becomes their desire, but now the comfort. Because those myrtle trees, they can have so many questions, and they can be so distraught, afraid that it shall all come to nothing. But the Lord said to Zacharias, no, it cannot and it shall not be. We have heard in the weeks gone by out of Isaiah 49, verse 16, "Behold, I have engraven thee upon the palms of thy hand, and thy walls are continually before me. Also the building of that temple that was continually before the Lord. Ah, shall the Lord then command that he must rebuild that temple? And shall the Lord then not help? Shall the Lord then not care? Shall the Lord then not spare? Shall the Lord then not protect? And shall he not provide?" That is written in our text, that all those other horses, the red horse of war and the speckled horse, there is prosperity, there is adversity upon the world. It is all in the Lord's hand. Lord's Day number 10, the almighty hand of the Lord's providence, where he directs and where he guides everything, and also the white horse, that is the white horse of victory. Oh, then how the heart of Zechariah must have begun to burn. Those are not the worst times for the prophet, when he has seen that vision and thinking about those builders. Oh, then what a vehement desire it must have been that he could go to that people and said, "Oh, myrtle trees, be not so afraid, be not so dismayed, because the Lord has shown me that the Lord is out in our midst. Oh, that man, the Messiah, that shall come in the fullness of time, he is riding amongst us. And woe unto him that comes and disturbs us. And oh, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, unto him is given all power in heaven and upon earth." And then I have seen those horses behind, that in the execution, oh, do I not read in Isaiah 46, verse 10, that the Lord knows the beginning from the end, and from ancient times, the things that are not done, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my good pleasure, that all the happenings in the world, that they are under the control and the command of that man upon the red horse. Then surely, what an instruction for our time, because we live in such serious and solemn times. Do we really realize it, congregation? What serious times that we live in. Everything that is transpiring, I read in Matthew 24, verse 7, "And this is the beginning of sorrows." And then what is necessary, boys and girls? That we may be a little myrtle tree, a chosen tree, a converted tree, an exercise tree, planted by the means of grace, and to bring forth fruits, oh, in beginning. A little tree to God's honor, a little tree that feels so helpless, a little tree that experienced that there are many enemies, but now to be given to see in the year of our Lord 2021, the man upon the red horse. And he has promised in a special way his presence in the house of God. He has promised to work by word and by spirit. May the prayers be multiplied. That the number of those myrtle trees, that they may be increased, but also that they may receive that instruction. Let us first sing. Psalter 384, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. Wherever I rest, wherever I go, My ways are known to thee. 384, the first four stanzas. Zacharias' first night vision, the man standing among the myrtle trees. A surprising revelation, and now secondly, a diligent search. Then we read that Zechariah, that he had a question, not concerning the man upon the red horse, because he said, then said I, O my Lord, what are these? That refers to those horses and to the riders upon those horses. And now in the visions, the night visions of Zechariah, then we read 10 times in these visions of the angel that talked with me. Then that angel, not always so easy to discern who the Lord is speaking about. But then it is clear that in this night vision, that we may say there was an angel that stood at the side, and that as the prophet had many questions, he was not ashamed to own that he was so ignorant concerning those wonderful visions. And then there was the angel that was also sent by the Lord to instruct the prophet. And therefore, when we read in verse 9, and the angel that talked with me, that is a different angel from the vision. Because concerning that man on the red horse among the myrtle trees, then we read by renewal of that man in verse 10. But we also read of that man in verse 11, and there he is called, and they answered, the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees. Thus the Lord Jesus Christ, he is signified in that vision as a man, but also as the angel of the Lord in capital letters. But now in verse 9, then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And then we read, and the angel that talked with me. Thus, boys and girls, then we can picture the prophet in a night vision. And then he was given to see that vision as a picture vividly before his eyes, as if it was very real. And then at the side, there stood an angel, we would say a teacher. Thus, in a certain sense, you can picture a classroom, that Zechariah was a student, and God's people remain a student. And now when he has seen that vision, then the Lord is also given a teacher. When he did not understand, we hope to hear that more often. 10 times, the angel that talked with me. And now with Zechariah, the Lord in his goodness, oh, he knows the infirmity of his people, of his servants, how foolish they are in heavenly ways, and that they need to be instructed in everything. And to that end, Zechariah, when he was given to see the first part of that vision, then said I, oh my Lord, what are these? Then the prophet was given to say, I am such an ignorant prophet. Wilt thou grant me a little instruction? Are there also those ignorant ones amongst us? That do not know the way, that the way seems to be so mysterious. And even concerning when the Lord speaks, do we not read in Psalm 36, verse 9, in thy light we shall see light. And the angel, the Lord has given an answer. Do I not read in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call upon me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knewest not. Oh, in Psalm 81, open wide thy mouth, and I will fill it. What a blessing it is when in the life of those myrtle trees, that they may have questions and riddles that they are so busy with. What a privilege is when the Lord grants a little light, when the Lord grants an answer that has taken place in the night watches in the life of Zechariah. Then the Lord has answered his request. And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And then we read, and the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, thus the angel has told Zacharias that he would receive an answer, but then the man among the myrtle tree has begun to speak. Thus surely that angel, as a type of the Holy Spirit, then he was given to instruct and point to the man. And then we read, and the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they, thus that concerns, those three horses with their riders. These are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. Thus then the man among the myrtle trees upon that red horse, then he was given to speak concerning the ministry of the angels and the life of the church of God. And there is much that is mysterious, much that cannot be fathomed. Nevertheless, there is written much in the Bible concerning their work and concerning their ministry, and that for the welfare and the comfort of the true church. Oh, then in the scriptures, then we read of many things, many duties of the holy angels. They are given to praise the Lord. Isaiah 6, think of the fields of Ephrathah, and also the vision of John on the island Patmos. Then he was given to see that they were given to send forth the praises of the Lord. They are also messengers. Think of Luke 1, the angel Gabriel, that he was sent to Zacharias and to Mary, and in Luke 2, to the shepherds. In the third place, they are sent to strengthen also the Lord Jesus Christ concerning his temptation in the wilderness and also in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the fourth place, they are also called to protect. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear. Think of Elisha on Mount Dothan and 2 Kings 6. Oh, then those angels, they were surrounding that mountain, and therefore Elisha was given to pray, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Then in the fifth place, they are also sent to destroy. Think of the angel of destruction in Egypt. Also that one angel that has killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night. Then in the sixth place, they are also given to behold. We read thereof in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 10, where it speaks of long hair for women for their head covering. Then in verse 10, it speaks of the angels, that they are present in the worship service. What a solemn thought, congregation, that in this afternoon. Do you ever think about it, people, boys and girls? That in this afternoon, the holy angels, they are present with us. I read in the book of Hebrews that they are ministering here, sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. We also read that he took Elijah to heaven. Thus, what a profound instruction, because they go to and fro through the whole earth. Ah, for those Zionites that were rebuilding the temple with many fears. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear them. And now what are these? Then the prophet was given to see that the Lord employs those holy angels, also those destroying angels, but also protecting angels, we have mentioned different points in the government of this church, and that they go to and fro. Oh, it is true. We read the same of the devil when Satan has come before the Lord. In Job 1 and Job 2, the Lord has asked where they came from, going to and fro throughout the whole earth, going up and down it. Thus the special ministry of the angels, and that was now for the comfort of those despised Zionites, that little group of people. It's true, nearly 50,000, but compared to all the Jews, but a little remnant. Oh, what a comfort that was. Oh, then by renewal, surely for the prophet, that he had a desire that he could go to that people, and that he could tell them concerning the ministry of the angels, that he had nothing to fear. Our third thought, a profound report. And then we read, and they answered the angel of the Lord. Thus that was the man on that red horse among the myrtle tree. Then those angels upon those other horses, when they have went to and fro throughout the whole earth, they have examined the earth, they have went to different kingdoms, they have went to different dwellings, to kitchens, to bedrooms, to barns, different places. They have examined the whole earth, and they have returned and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. And concerning what those words refer to, in the first place in the context, then it refers to the nations of the earth, that there was relative rest. Last week we have heard out of Revelations 8 verse 1 of that half hour silence in heaven. Have you thought about it, congregation? And have you brought it upon your knees and begged the Lord that he may be mindful of us and our children in a special way? Oh, in that half hour, that many, we must ask for all to be converted before that half hour of silence shall end, and that the trumpet shall be blown, and that terrible calamity shall take place upon the earth, and that it shall be pronounced woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Thus, in the first place, in the context, then it may refer to the nations of the earth, that it was a time of relative peace, although, of course, the devil never sitteth still. And also concerning those Samaritans, when they saw that they have begun to rebuild the temple, that their anger must have risen in their heart. But we read in our text that it speaks they have walked to and fro through all the earth. Through the earth in verse 10, and then in verse 11, through that all the earth set is still and is at rest. Thus, when we read of all the earth, that does not exclude anyone. That would also include the many Jewish people that were still in Babylon and dispersed throughout heathen lands. But it would also not exclude the people that have returned. And now concerning that stillness, all the earth set is still, we shall close. But may we be given to examine our houses, our hearts. Is there now a stillness in our hearts and in our dwellings? that when the angels, when they come to our dwellings, different places, our bedrooms, must then the angel return with what we read, that the earth, that house, that heart lies so still, not a crying, not a begging, and also concerning the further exercises in the lives of God's people, young and old. What when the angel shall come and to behold our dwellings? Ah, may there then be angels. Do we not read in Luke 15 of those angels that rejoice in heaven? They are given to bring a report over one sinner that repenteth. Ah, can it be said in the past week, here and there, oh, a troubled soul, a myrtle tree, one that is mourned, one that is wept, one that has poured out their heart, a soul that cannot miss the Lord, but also a soul, as with the prophet Zechariah, to receive a little instruction. Oh, what an encouragement this vision was, for that people were rebuilding with many fears, with many discouragements, that the Lord is in the midst of the church. Do we not read in Revelation 1 of the Son of Man, in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, Christ has said to his church, in Luke 12, verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we have heard that the prophet has received a great encouragement and comfort that he may bring to thy people, that thou wert in the midst of them, and that thou wast everything in thy hands, but also a word of examination, whether it was still among that people, or whether many sighs and cries were sent up to heaven with that vehement and desire that thou would be their helper true. Ach, Lord, wilt thou then work mightily and lovingly in the midst of our children? Ah, may many briars, may they be turned into those myrtle trees and to be planted by the rivers of water for thy honor and for thy glory. Lord, we have heard of the ministry of thy holy angels, ah, the blessed portion of thy people. Wilt thou watch over us in the furtherance of this day, grant traveling mercies, and may it please thee to bring us under the means of grace once more. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, 207, 1, 2, and 3. God is known among his people, every mouth his praises fill. From of old he has established his abode on Zion's hill. And what follows? 207, 1, 2, and 3. away save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.